know, the Bible tells us that we as the people of God, the church, were to pray for our leaders. So can we do that this morning? Can we just bow our heads and let's just pray for our leaders this morning? And the Bible says that if we pray for our leaders, we pray for our leaders because in doing that, and when God brings in the right leaders, that we will have a blessed life and a blessed country. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Canada. We pray for Canada. We pray for the leaders in Canada. We pray for those in the spheres of influence and position right now. We pray for those who are leaders in business. We pray for leaders in education. We pray for our leaders in our health. We pray for leaders in the media and in the arts and entertainment. We pray for church leaders. We pray for the leaders in our families, Lord. Lord, Father God, we also pray. We pray for our leaders in government and in politics. We pray that they would be leaders who put you first and would put people first. And we pray that you would lead them and guide them and surround them with the right people to help them. And we pray that for leaders who would lead well. And we pray that if there are leaders who have their own agendas and their own selfish desires are in position, we pray that you would replace them, that you would take them out, and you would put in the right leaders. Those leaders that you already have, they're waiting, and they're waiting to be put into those positions. We pray for that, Father. And Father, we pray that you, that the church today would be a church that glorifies your name and that shines in these dark times, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed and said, amen and amen. You know, there are so many challenges in life today. And I want to talk about, you know, keep on running the race. Paul talked about in the Bible in several places about that our life here on earth is like this race. And there are so many challenges that we have to deal with in our lives today, don't we? We have storms, we have stresses, not enough money, we've got problems of the past, problems that we're dealing with, you know, today, and we've got trials. And so, you know, if you studied the world news, you'll see the WEF, the World Economic Forum, and their plans for global domination to take over the world. You know, and as you see our prime minister and the premiers in our provinces trying to enact and to enforce digital ID so they can control who you are, to control where you are, even your financial, you know, your finances, and to steal your privacy. And as we see, you know, some of our leaders controlling the borders and trying to steal our rights and privileges, you know, and as we see, hear reports about what's happening in certain countries like Russia and China. And as you really hear the reports other than just mainstream media, you'll find out, you know, you'll find out reports of what's actually happening behind the scenes, the cover-ups and the intrigues, the espionage. And if you really study them and if you check out the right sources, you'll find that these things are legitimate. These things are actually happening in our world today. You realize that? We need to wake up and to examine. Jesus said this, that we are never to accept everything by sight, but everything that we hear, that we're to examine, we're to question, the first to present his case seems right, till another comes forward and question. We need to question what's happening to find out in our world so we can respond properly. Amen? So it's so important that we know what's going on. And so there are so many challenges. So we add these things that are happening in our world along with all the other challenges. And so we have to realize this, that perhaps the greatest challenge that we have is to simply not give up. and to not drop out. The greatest challenges that we have as being as followers of Christ is to follow Him, is to serve Him, and to love Him with the same passion as when we first started out. Amen? Yes. And I think that's one of the greatest challenges, is to keep on following, keep on believing, keep on serving, keep on loving Jesus. Can I say this to you right now? This is not a time for us to be just hanging on, just waiting for the end to come. This is not a time when we're just hanging on and just waiting for Jesus to come back. Just, you know, and I've heard that there are many churches and leaders that are preaching to the people that, hey, you know, just hang on. It's so evil out there. There's nothing we can do about it. So it's just hang on. Wait for the Lord to come back. You know, that's not right. You know, guess what? He is not coming back. Not yet. He's not coming back yet. Because there are so many things that still yet need to happen. There's a world that needs to be reached for Jesus Christ. There are neighbors. There are work people in your workplaces that need to be reached for Jesus. Hasn't happened yet. He's not coming back. Not yet. We have work to do. So the challenge for us is to stay in the race, you know, and not give up. You know, and I heard the prophetic word. The rapture is not a rescue plan. The rapture is not an exit plan for God's people. The rapture is not a time when we can check out because the world is getting too nasty for us to survive. No, that's not God's plan. Jesus is not coming back for a people who are afraid of what's happening in this world, who are isolated, who are into hiding. He's not coming back for that type of people. Who's He coming back for? He's coming back for a triumphant church. A church that's taken back the ground the enemy has stolen. Reaching out, advancing His kingdom, preaching the gospel. That's who He's coming back for. It's not time to check out. It's time to rise up. Amen? As the people of God, be who you've called to be.
Wow, I just went off on a major rabbit trail. But praise God.
You know, when I face challenges in my life, sometimes I think I'm the only one going through it. Do you feel that way? You know, and I think that's why the Bible tells us and encourages us. God knew that we would feel this way. So He reminds us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's not get caught up in that. And let's run with what? Come on, say it out loud. Perseverance. The race marked out for us. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. He's the pioneer and the perfecter. He's the beginning and He's the finisher of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. My message today is entitled, Keep Running the Race. And here in Hebrews are two very important words used by the Apostle Paul. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Perseverance and endurance are two things, two qualities we've just got to develop in our lives in order to run the race that God has called us to run. Let's define them. Perseverance, continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Another word for it is steadfastness. Endurance, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. In other words, a marathon runner's endurance. When you and I receive Christ as Lord and Savior, listen, you enlist it into a race. And not just a sprint, but an endurance. when you receive Christ, you join the long race called endurance, right? And then you put those two words together, perseverance and endurance, and here's what it means. The ability to withstand, not just to withstand, but also to keep moving forward. Keep running the race. Now, I'm not a marathoner. My wife has been more than of a marathoner than I have been. The most I've ever run is 10 to 12K. But I do know one thing from my running experience, that endurance comes from running. The more you run, the more you can run. And the more you run, the more your heart and your lungs expand so you can run further, right? Until you hit this place in your run called hitting your stride. And when you hit your stride, it feels good. And it's at that point, you feel like you could almost keep on going forever. Almost, right? So that's what happens when we keep running and we just don't give up. Keep on running. So I want to encourage you today. Like, I know that maybe some of you are going through a tough season. But can I say this to you? You know what is happening? God is expanding you for his run. God is expanding you in your character and your ability and your fiber. He's doing something inside of you, you know, through this thing called troubles and trials and endurance, right? And so, yes, there's opposition coming. There are troubles. But keep on running the race. Don't give up. Keep on running. Keep on withstanding. Adversity, trials, prolonged stress, difficulties, failure, opposition. Keep on running the race. Amen? Yeah. You know, some people think, I've got to be out of, I know, I must be out of God's will. I mean, all the trials I'm going through, maybe there's something wrong with me. Do you ever feel that way? You know, I must be out of God's will. But can I say this to you? Rather than that, you're probably in the midst of God's will. You know, because God is doing something. You know, many times before I preach, I ask myself this question. Do I have the right to be preaching on what I'm going to preach? But you know, on this particular theme we're talking about, I believe that Karen and I, we have a right. Because we've been running this race for almost 30 or over 30 years now. The race of being a pastor and leading God's people and just continuing. And you know, we can't even tell you how many times we wanted to throw in the towel. Because it is hard being a pastor. It is tough being a leader of God's house. And so many times we felt beaten up, we felt betrayed, we felt exhausted, worn out. But I want to tell you, we still want to see a church built on decisions for Christ. We still want to see people have an encounter with Christ, not just an experience. You know, our focus is still to see people get saved, add to the church, and disciple, to see the unchurched become church. That's still our goal. We have never given up. Amen? So here's a question. What if we had decided to stop running? You know what would have happened? None of us would be here today. None of us would be sitting here today. Right? Isn't that right? So can you say to the person next to you, keep on running the race. Keep on running the race. Good. Hebrews 10:35. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. All that God has promised. There is reward. There is something special coming. There is, right now, I believe, there is a coming move of God's Spirit. Amen. There is a move of God's Spirit that is coming to our land. All the signs are there. We are feeling like the bell. You know, you ring it. How do you tell a bell? You know, they put these bells in these citadels and in the marketplaces, and they ring the bell, and they always have to have this true sound, this clear. When it's supposed to have this pure clang. So when they build new bells, They want to make sure that it has this pure clang. So what do? They put it beside the true bell. And if that bell, you know, and that bell, you ring that original true bell, and automatically that bell, without even striking, that new bell resonates with that sound. You know, and I believe that we're kind of like that. The bell is ringing. God's bell is ringing, and we are the bells. And I could feel this resonation that something is happening in the realm of the Spirit, that God is setting himself up to move in a mighty way. And I don't believe this is the sovereign move. It's a move of God, but it's prompted, it's spawned by the prayers of his people. I think there's a hunger in the people of God. I believe there are people just falling to their knees like we are, and we're just crying out, God, you got to do something. Our land needs healing. There are souls to be won to Christ. We need to be empowered to reach people like never before. And I hear that cry, and I feel this sovereign move of power, of the presence and the power of God is going to show up. There's a coming move of the Spirit. Can I say this? We are entering into a new season of growth and progress. But you know, but it's going to cost us. But let me say this. It's going to be worth everything that we put into it. God is coming. There's going to be a move of God, a harvest. We're going to see this landscape in our nation literally change. I think there's going to be a major shifts of leadership. You're going to see leaders taken down that shouldn't be there, and we're going to see new leaders rise up. And I believe that's going to happen. I believe that's the call of God. That's the purpose of God. And I believe that we've seen signs of it even right now. Amen? I'm going way off the beat here. But, you know, I believe this is important for us to know as God's people. You know, but can I say this? You know, you look at moves of God in the Bible. And every move of God, God moves sovereignly, but also through his people, through different individuals, peoples, and groups. But what it took for these people to see that move of God, to see the fulfillment of that move and the blessing of God, is that it required perseverance and endurance. You know, and there, you know, what we have been through is nothing compared to what people in the Bible had endured in order to see the goodness of God. So I'm just going to give you some examples. Think about Joseph. Joseph, his life is told in Genesis chapter 37 to 50. It spans 13 chapters. So think about Joseph, 17 years old. He has this incredible dream. And then he's given this coat of many colors, which is a sign of his father's favor. Good for him, but not really good for him, because his brothers got really jealous. So what did they do? They saw him coming one day. They grabbed a hold of him. They beat him. They threw him into the pit. They sold him. They sold him to the caravans of Egypt. He ends up in Potiphar's household. And he serves so well that he's put in charge of everything. But then he's accused wrongfully by Potiphar's wife. And then he's thrown into prison. And he's kind of just left there. But then he works so hard. And he does so well that the warden puts him in charge of everything. But he's kind of left there again. He's just kind of left there until he interprets Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh is so blown away by Joseph's interpretation and his wisdom that he literally puts him in charge of all the land of Egypt. So he literally goes from pit to prison to palace because he endured and he persevered, right? And finally his dream comes to pass. Think about the Apostle Paul. His life is told in Acts chapter 8 to 28, 20 chapters. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's read it on the screen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 4, this message version, Paul says these words, "Our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details. People are waiting, or people are watching us as we stay at our post, alertly, unswervingly, in hard times, tough times, bad times, when we're beaten up, jailed and mobbed, working hard, working late, working without eating, with pure heart, clear head, steady hand, in gentleness, holiness, an honest love, when we're telling the truth, and when God's showing His power, when we're doing our best, setting things right, when we're praised, and when we're blamed, slandered and honored, true to our word, though distrusted, ignored by the world, but recognized by God, terrifically alive, though rumored to be dead, beaten within an inch of our lives, but refusing to die, immersed in tears, yet always filled with deep joy, living on handouts, yet enriching many, having nothing, having it all. Wow. He talks about enduring troubles, hardships, calamities of every kind. He's thrown in prison for his faith. He's beaten by mobs. He's almost stoned to death. He endures sleepless nights. He's shipwrecked. He works himself to exhaustion. He's shipwrecked many times. And that near the end of his life, he says these words, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. This is the only race worth running. I've run hard right to the finish, believed all the way, and all that's left now is the shouting, God's applause. Praise the Lord for Paul. Praise the Lord for Paul. Where would we be without Paul's contribution? Amen? In 2 Timothy, in the NIV version, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Keep running the race. Keep running the race. Think about Jesus. He endured 33 years, yet no sin was found in him. In the garden called Gethsemane. You know what Gethsemane means? Oil press. Press. And he was in press, and that's where God pressed the burden and pressed into his heart this passion to go through what he would have to endure to what was ahead of him. And he knew what was ahead of him, what was coming. What was ahead of him? Here's what was ahead of him. The abandonment. All his friends who said they would never leave him or forsake him, what did they do? They just took off when he was arrested. Ahead of him was a false accusation as they condemned him to die. Not just any death, but the death on the cross. The death of a criminal. Ahead of him was the mockery as they spit on him and they called him the King of the Jews. Ahead of them was the pain of the whips and the flogging. Ahead of him was the weight, carrying the weight of our sins on the cross and the weight of the sins of the world on the cross. And ahead of him was the shame of hanging on the cross as a criminal, stripped completely naked for all the world to see. And ahead of him was the surrender of his hands and his feet. Ahead of him was the heartache, the heartbreak, when his father turned away and his presence was not there. Why hast thou forsaken me? That's how he felt. The anguish and the pain he felt. Yet in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, it says, yet for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, if you're going through it today, I want to tell you, you are not out of God's will. Amen? You're not out of God's will. And I want to tell you, God has not left you. Amen? You just gotta keep running. You know why? Because it's not always going to be the way it is right now. God is going to show up. In everything that's happening in your life, God is going to turn and work it out for good. Amen? I've kind of spent most of my time already, but can I give you 3 points real quick? Here's some key things, three key things that you've got to do as you run. Number one, exercise your attitude. You know that 80% of our life is determined by our attitude? 80% of the things that happen in our life are because of your attitude, right? I know, because of God, but attitude is such a big thing. James chapter 1, verse 2. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. It's like, James, you got to be nuts. He's saying, when you're going through trials and tough times, count it all joy. That's what he's saying. Count it all joy. It's an opportunity to be you to be just experience just incredible joy, right? In other words, James is saying, count it all joy, break out in praise. Break out in praise. Somebody said, if you praise, you raise. You raise yourself. If you praise, you raise. If you complain, you remain in that place. And it's so true, isn't it? You know, and here, James is telling us that even in the most difficult situation, count it a joy to serve Jesus Christ. You know, when you go through trouble with joy, you're more like Jesus than you realize. Amen? James chapter 2, this is 2-4, the Message version, says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is being forced into the open, and it shows its true. It shows its your true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work, so you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. Exercise your faith. Exercise your attitude. Right. Number two, exercise your faith. You know, faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. In the Bible, if you study your Bible, you realize nothing happened without faith. It was always according to someone's faith. You know, I believe like it's like God is saying today, I want you to look at your level of faith. Reconsider the level of your faith. And I want you to take your faith now and base it on my power and on my promises. You know, God is the next level of faith for every single one of us in this room. But listen, in order for us to get into greater faith, we've got to do something. We've got to get rid of the doubt. We've got to get rid of the questionings, the rational, the reasoning in our minds. And we've got to saturate our minds with the promises of God. Get into the Word. Saturate it with the Word, with the Word of God and with faith. You know? And not only that, get a fresh expectation for the power of God to work in your life. To believe for something that's impossible with man, but totally possible with God to happen to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In the Old Testament, there's a story of a guy named of Isaac, right? Isaac, Abraham's son, Isaac. He took his family into a foreign land of Philistia. They were in Philistine territory. He was living there for a while. And it says, at that time, that Isaac planted crops in that land. And the same year, reaped 100-fold because the Lord had blessed him. Now, during the time that he had planted, it was a time of drought and famine. Yet, he planted, and the Lord gave him 100-fold return. You will always reap what you sow. So always sow good seed. Keep on serving faith, steadfastness, perseverance. Keep on sowing those good things into your heart and into your life. And don't allow seeds of fear, doubt, deception, that you can receive if you just keep on watching the mainstream news, right? Sometimes you just got to shut off that mainstream news because you won't always hear the truth. And you got to look to more incredible. So, you know, we say stop listening to the news and start listening to God. Amen? Yeah. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. You will always harvest what you plant. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If you don't give up, blessing is coming into the next season. If you don't give up, harvest is coming into the next season. If you don't give up, God is going to use you more. He's going to make you better. He's going to make you stronger. Number three, exercise your gifts. In other words, use your gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it all with the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. In other words, be liberal with your life. Be liberal with your life. You know, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy to stir up the gift that was in him. In other words, use the gifts. Every single one of us, God has given us the spiritual gift. And if you don't know what those spiritual gifts are, you're going to find out what they are pretty soon. As soon as we hit fall, we're going to introduce a course called the Growth. It's called the Growth Track. And in that, one of those lessons is all about identifying your spiritual gifts and helping you to put those spiritual gifts into action. So we need to use, but you know, many of us, we understand what our gifts are. And some of those gifts, you know, they're other than the 12-fold gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are other gifts that God talks about, like serving and giving and speaking gifts and helping gifts. And the, you know, the more you use those gifts, the better they get used, right? So I just want to encourage you, keep on giving, keep on serving, keep on helping, keep on volunteering, keep on being used by God. And do it with the strength and energy that God provides. Amen? Endurance and strength. Endurance and perseverance. Those are two qualities of a believer in Christ. And that basically sums up our life as believers. You know, and I look at my life and I know, you know, I know a lot of the history of your lives, and I know that together we've been through some hardships, we've been through adversities, we've been through tough times, we've been through some disappointments, but listen, we keep on running, don't we? We're like that Timex watch commercial. You remember what the slogan is? The Timex watch. It takes a beating, but it what? Keeps on ticking. Takes a beating, but it keeps on ticking. One more scripture. Hebrews 10:35 says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You know, it's not always going to be the way it is right now, is it? You know, let's fix our eyes, not just on what's happening now, but let's look at the bigger picture. God has blessing. God has favor. God has good things for you in the next season. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Then shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, help us to look past what's happening today and see what the big picture. Father, we're headed to our destiny. We're headed to blessing. We're headed to reward, Father. Father, give us, as the family of God, the faith to believe you for the impossible. Father, give us this spirit, the same spirit that Joshua had, this courage within them to keep on running the race and to rerun it successfully, to run it all out, to trust in you, to take risks, to do the unusual in our lives, Lord, to break out of the confines of this world and out of ordinary living into kingdom living, living as a child of the King, children of God, living in the blessing and in the favor of God Almighty, and declaring boldly, shouting aloud, that our God reigns. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We just keep your heads bowed just for another minute. I just want to pray for somebody here today. Maybe you heard about Jesus, but you don't really know him because you haven't accepted him into your heart. You know about him, but you don't know him. He wants to reveal himself to you in a real personal relationship with him, with God, through himself. So if you've never made that decision to receive Christ into your heart, to receive the gift of eternal life, to receive the gift of heaven, then you can do that today. You can do that simply by saying this prayer sincerely. I'm going to lead you into prayer. And if you're watching, you know, will you say this prayer after me? So if you've never received Christ into your heart, Will you please say these words after me and say this right to Him? Lord Jesus Christ, I know I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross to pay for all my sins. Please forgive me of every sin I've committed. And today and now, Lord, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.